So we've had that reading, that Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to... Oh, we haven't. We're going to have it now. We're going to have it now. It's going to fall apart again now, isn't it? 31 to 35. Our last week, and maybe you're glad it is the last week. Okay. Verse 31. It's the story of Jesus and his mother. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting round him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle round him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Pretty hard words. In the time in which they were said, in the sense that family was very important, and you didn't deny your family unless something really serious had happened. So the obvious question, I guess, is who is your bloodline? Who is your family? I belong to the family I was born into. I've just had, as I said a few weeks ago, my cousins have gone mad on following up the Norton family tree. I don't know if you've done your family trees. I was always a bit nervous because I thought, well, they lived in a fishing village down in Devon. There must be smugglers in the family. I didn't want to go back to smugglers. But so far, I haven't heard of any smugglers. And I said Cornelius Norton. Nicodemus Norton was the name that was given to one of my great-great-great-grandfather, I think it was. And he obviously had a biblical name. I was hoping that at least gave us safety and security. But sometimes the definition can be somewhat complicated because our families are mixed up and messed up at times, aren't they? And we don't know who belongs to who or why. But I've just got four ideas for us to look at. There are four things to look at here. One is a common experience that draws us close together. When my cousins write about the times in Limpston where I went on holiday as a child, we have a common experience that would be climbing the cliffs, rowing boats out onto the river, walking through the mud in bare feet, letting the mud go ooze up between your toes. They told me afterwards it was good for your feet. And all these common experiences of playing down there, and we have a common bond. And that's true for us all. We have common experiences with different people. There's a common interest as well. These are the sort of things that draw people together, the common experience and then the common interest. You will find yourself mixing with people who have the same sort of interest as you, but have very different backgrounds to you. And that's just part of how we're drawn together. There's also the common obedience. We're obedient to, I guess, different standards, aren't we? And different people. Some people ignore the police totally. And we'll drive off in all different directions, and there's this dee-da dee-da following them down the road, or Eeyore, as the children used to say. there's all sorts of things that people will follow and take as their rules for living, I guess you'd say. And then a common goal. We have often a common goal in different things that we are interested in. If you make shoes, that was an industry I was involved with for a short time. The common goal for all the people who made shoes was to produce a shoe at the end of the day, at least one. But of course, as you work in factories, they produce thousands. But the common goal is to produce these, and then the company is making money. So there are these sort of ideas that go through our mind as we're looking about who is our community or who is our family. You have common experiences with your family. You have common interests, mostly. Common obedience, because dad's in charge or mum's in charge, one or the other, and you have a common goal, and that is to fulfil your birthright, I guess. It's certainly true that those who follow Jesus have a common experience. For the family, there is the bloodline. I belong to the family I was born into, so do you, don't you?
Yeah.
Are you proud of your family?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you happy with your family? All the time? It's best to be honest about these things. Sometimes we've got members of the family that really irritate us. but and I probably irritate a few in my family, but there you go. It's just part of what it is. Our family, there is a bloodline that we belong to, and I was born into the Nortons. That means North Towners, I think, generally. In the family of God, we talk about being born again into the family or community of God. Is that a common word, common phrase you understand? We talk about being born again into the family of God. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and he said, "How can I be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb?" And Jesus explained, "No, you need to be born again of the Spirit, which is a thing that can happen to us at any time in our life. Born again of the Spirit of God. That means not born of water, but of the Spirit of God." It's a lovely description that meant that Jesus understood what it was for a mother to have children, but it also explained what it was for someone to be born into the family of God. As Christians, we have a common experience of being forgiven sinners. We prayed, didn't we, just before we took communion there, "If there's anything wrong, Lord, if I've sinned, forgive me." And that's a common experience. I don't know if you've ever been forgiven for doing something by your parents or by your teacher at school or by whoever it was. I remember running around on a building site, not the sort of thing I should have been doing. We were up on the scaffolding and somebody shouted at us, and we stood still, and then this chap came along and gave me a slap across the face. He didn't forgive me. He gave me a slap across the face. "You should be up here." And off I went as quick as I didn't tell Mum and Dad, because I might have got another slap when I got home. But it was a, what should we say? I'd done something wrong. But there are other times in my life when I can say, people have come up to me and said, "I forgive you," and they've meant it. And that's a relief, isn't it? When it's lifted off your shoulders, the thing that you did. And that's a common experience for all of us as followers of Christ, being forgiven sinners. We have that in common, don't we? We know. I remember back to the day I first made a public demonstration of my acceptance of Christ as Saviour. And there were tears. And as a 16-year-old lad, you know, you don't cry. But there were tears, and there was relief. I'd been forgiven. And that's a common experience, in that we maybe all experience that relief that God gives us. We don't deserve, but it's there. It's that common experience that we have. For us to have our sins forgiven is the greatest gift we can receive. For all of us, the reaction was similar. The burden was lifted, and we sense freedom, along with the emotional reaction, tears, joy, release, and a sense of the presence of God. I don't know, you must feel like me at times. You walk into a place where there's been obviously fellowship, and you're coming into a meeting, and as you walk in, you can sense the presence of God. And maybe it's only happened halfway through the meeting, where almost as if God's tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Oh yeah, I'm here." And you think, wow. And that is a sense that we all can say is a common experience, can we? Where he said to you, very personally, "I'm here. I want you to know that." And you've been challenged to the depth of your soul. So that's a common experience. And I think it's important that we realise that. Have you laughed with people? Have you cried with people? Some people make you cry. Some people make you laugh naturally. Some people, there's an advert on about, I remember this chap, Larry Grayson. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
And they said as you walked onto the stage, people started to laugh before he, as he dragged his chair behind, he started to laugh before he said anything. Now, I didn't understand what some of the things he said in the past meant. I didn't realise how biased it was towards the gay community, in a sense. But there was a thing about him. He made you laugh. He made you laugh. And Tommy, all the other people I can think of that made me laugh. Tommy Cooper made me laugh, but most women found him difficult. But they even laughed at him when he died on stage, didn't they? Because
yes.
They thought it was part of the act. I think it's really important that we as followers of Christ laugh together, cry together, and all the rest of it. that we make this common experience and this common interest very important. As a result, we have this common interest, which is why we meet together, why you've come here week by week. It's not just because you've got a great preacher. Yeah, okay. it's more because we want to know a little bit more about what it is that makes our faith important to us, don't we? And I love to hear more about Jesus. There's an old song, "More About Jesus Would I Know, More of His Loving Kindness Know, More of His Grace to Others Show," more, oh, something like that anyway. It goes on and on. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. I would know more about Jesus was that song that I remember from a long time ago. And in a sense, that's what I want. I want to know more about Jesus. So, have that common interest, which is why we meet together. Those who have a common interest like to meet up with those who share their enthusiasms. In Rushton, they have the Railway Club, the Railway Museum, I should say. And there's loads of old railway paraphernalia stuck up there getting rusty. And then there's one or two things that are working. And they have that common interest in railways. I can't say I have got that interest. I'd like to ride on the railway. I don't know. I don't mind that. But I haven't got the same interest as that. But they gather together because they have that interest. And no doubt there are things that you do. If you're a philatelist or people who collect coins, I can't remember what the word is for that. Numismatist. Yeah. There are all sorts of things that we have common interest in. We might meet up with people who are a bit odd whilst they're doing it, we'll do that. But actually, that's not meant to be an insult, by the way. But we share their enthusiasms. And so we have that common interest. And it's true of all of us, whether we are politically or practically or intellectually enthused. We all gravitate towards those who share our outlook on life or our core values. Some years ago, the Western Reformed Union put out our core values. I think it's up somewhere here, isn't it?
In the other room.
The core values that we must be people who are, I can't remember them.
Community mind.
There you go. Fits well. And then that it's important that we realise what we agree on and not major on what we disagree on. Which is what we hear so much about. The more we get to know Jesus, the more we want to know. The deeper our relationship with him. It's like a husband-wife relationship, isn't it? My wife said to me the other day, "I never knew that about you," and we've been married 45 years this year. So, you know, you think, well, why didn't you know that? I can't even remember what it was that I said. But you learn things about people even after 40, 50, 60 years. My cousins are putting these things on Facebook. Who wants to put anything on Facebook nowadays? But they put this stuff on about the Norton family, and then there was a picture of my great uncle, and they were married in 1906, and I remember going to their golden wedding anniversary in 1956. And then in 1966, we went to the diamond wedding anniversary. And then one of them died, and then the other died quite quickly afterwards. Sorry, my maths is not very good, is it? And I said to my cousins, "I can remember going to that. I can remember." And they just, yeah, bless you. What a sad soul. But that was a common experience with some of us, some of my family. We went, travelled all the way up to Hull so that we could go to their anniversaries. So the more we get to know about each other, the more we find out, the closer we should be together. So when we meet with those who know Jesus, we find our experience is common. And straight away we have that relationship. We can say, yes, that was my experience as well. Can you remember watching the Queen being crowned? Some of you are too young, all right. Can you remember the coronation? Can
yes.
you?
Just.
I can just. In fact, I was so convinced that the Queen was going to come and ride past our house. Yeah, simple soul. that I just sort of was expecting the Queen to just drive past our little house in Wales in Bryn Mawr. And it didn't happen. I was disappointed. I can remember the little screen that we watched it on. Just a tiny little screen in someone else's house because we didn't have a telly. But it was a great occasion. I was excited but couldn't understand why. Well, she should visit us.
I watched it in the pub where Barry lived. Right. Long before we knew each other.
Right.
But he lived in that. Yeah, where you had them. They've got a little black and white telly that I watched it in there.
Yeah. So we have a common experience, you see. Yeah. I was only three at the time, but there you go.
Yeah.
But there you go. So we can say, as a result of that, that's our experience. We've been there, done that. And that's why I was saying about the common interest, the common experience. We have a common love for and desire for the extension of the kingdom of God and to learn more about it. It's been said that true kinship lies in common obedience. That's a tough one, that one, isn't it? Common obedience, okay. We have sensed the presence of God. We've said that already. And in a sense, we need to be people who are ready to express our common interest and our desire to serve others. And I've got ahead of myself, behind with what's on the screen. I do apologise for that. So that was all the things that I was saying earlier on. Okay. So just give you a little bit of a reappraisal of what I've been saying. Yes, I know what you mean. Okay. So, now that we're caught up, we have a common obedience. This was certainly true of the disciples, for they were a mixed group. What a mixed group they were. I mean, you don't have to think very hard, do you, to think how different they were. There was the tax collector, there was the fisherman, there was the doubter, the one who was enthusiast, the zealot. There were all sorts. There was the one who even was the betrayer. And Jesus brought them under that common obedience, which was to follow Jesus. You can't say that that was normal, can you? If someone was choosing people to follow them, you'd have thought Jesus would have chosen better, but he chose right. I'm told that if you go in the army, which I never did, you'll remember that what sort of group you were put together with. You would not have chosen them, but because you spent time with them, you went through the difficult times together, you became a unit. I know that I went to the Marine camp down at Limpston near Exmouth. If anybody knows the Royal Marines army camp down near Exmouth there, and as I was at school, and I can remember that we were allowed to go over the assault course. Now, the Marines do it all in one go. We were allowed to take our time because they wanted to make sure we didn't fall off and that sort of thing. But we had a great time. And each one of us, at the end of that, could say we'd even fired Royal Enfield rifles. And anybody who got good marks were able to fire with the machine guns. Thankfully, I had bad marks. Because I could just imagine the machine gun going up this all over the place. But we had a tremendous experience, and we could all say that we enjoyed it, and we were all... But we were under authority. There were those around who made sure, if we didn't do things as we were told, we got shouted at by the army officers. And so we were put in our place. There was a common obedience there. And these people who followed Jesus were under the authority of Jesus, right from the very beginning. I don't think there would have been many arguments when Jesus said anything. They questioned Jesus, quite rightly. They asked him why, but when he said it, they accepted what he had to say. As I said, there were extremists, the tax collector, the extremists, the zealots, the fishermen, the thinkers, with the usual dreamers, because they all accepted Jesus as Master and Lord, they were bound together. They were bound together. I was immensely impressed with the officer in the gendarmerie who gave himself up to swap himself for a hostage the other day. And that he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to, but he'd taken an oath to protect people. And as a result of that, he did what he did. He was in obedience to that oath that he made. And in a sense, we have made an oath to Jesus as well. And we have become a unit. People can become friends when they share a common leader. They can love each other only when they love Jesus. There's a song that we sing. something like, "Brother, do you love Jesus? Brother, do you love Jesus? Brother, do you love Jesus? Because he first loved me." You know the song, the tune. We were at Cliff College one for a couple of years, and at one of the anniversary sessions, somebody stood at the front and they sang just the name of someone from the audience, and they sung the name, like, "Sue, do you love Jesus? Sue, do you love Jesus? Sue, do you love Jesus? Because he first loved me." And then there was a reply. They say, yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus because he first loved me. It was a lovely thing. It was so simple and so ineffectual in a sense. But it just hit the spot. I love Jesus. We love Jesus because he first loved us. And it's true that kinship... I've got ahead of myself with the words again, so I'm sorry about that. But we have a common goal. Our common goal, haven't we? We might do it in different ways. Somebody may be able to sing beautifully and influence people, and their lives will be changed by the beauty of the song you've just sung. Some may be able to write it down for other people so that they can read it and understand what it is about God that makes... I love reading Christian books, I must admit. Jeff, I haven't got very far with that book you gave me a little while ago, but I'm enjoying reading it about prayer. And it's a really important book. And some people may just be able to have a conversation with someone. I love meeting people, and I love having a conversation with people, and I love finding out about people, do you? I'm proper nosy, but for one reason only, is a sense I'd love to be able to let them know about Jesus. And our common goal is to bring our community to Christ. So nothing binds people together better than a common goal in life. We know that that's true. We see people do extraordinary things. Because they have a common goal in life. And they do the most extraordinary things, the sort of things you wouldn't have expected them to do, just because they're in the situation they're in and with the group they're with. We may never agree on the things that don't matter to our eternal destiny, but we must come together on the need to win people for Christ. We must come together on that particular idea. If kinship comes from a common goal, then Christians, above all people, hold its secret. For all we are wanting to know is knowing Christ better and to bring others within his kingdom. Wherever we differ, and we do differ, I mean, there will be people here today who will say that, you can only worship God in one particular way. Yes. I don't think that's true of us here actually today, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. But there are those you will meet who will say you can only meet God in this particular way. The beauty of what we have is that where we differ shouldn't affect our affection for each other when it comes to knowing Christ. If we are certain that someone is a Christian, then that's a good thing. The Catholic priest in Rushton some years ago said something like this, because he'd had a bit of a discussion with his boss, I guess, his bishop or whatever, something like this: "Why shouldn't I want my people to know Jesus? Why shouldn't I want my people to know Jesus? Because that's what he wanted." And I could have hugged him at that time. Even though we differ on the way we do things, I realised we had a common goal, and our common goal was that people should know Jesus. A lovely man. I think he's still about. Nothing else matters but fulfilling our common goal. So our community discussions, our community thoughts this particular Lent season, I hope you realise that we were bound to repeat ourselves, because so much of it is tied up with so much of it, if you know what I mean. But I hope it's been helpful, and I hope you will be blessed by it. So let's have a prayer, shall we? Father God, Thank you again for helping us to see you and to know you and to be part of a community of believers with a common goal to reach out to the world for you. In Jesus' name, amen.